Scripture reading for this morning is just a couple of verses from the first chapter of John. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of God. For the people of God. So during the past month, I've seen a variety of Christmas lights. I enjoy looking at the lights throughout the month of December. This past Tuesday, I saw a light display that I had never seen before, not even close. I was in the parking lot, it was evening. And an SUV pulled up across from me. And on the roof of the SUV was trimmed all kinds of colored Christmas twinkling lights all around the edge of the roof. Now that's not that unusual because I've seen Christmas lights on the outside of vehicles before. But right in the middle of the roof, in the midst of those lights, stood a 3 foot tall toy soldier, lighted. And so this SUV was driving around, not only with the lights around the roof, but this toy soldier standing like he's, you know, guarding the whole car and not letting anything happen to it. It's very strange. Over the years, we've enjoyed many displays of Christmas lights in our area. Hope and Becky and I, we've gone to the Cincinnati Zoo and seen the Christmas lights there. We've gone to the Creation Museum, Coney Island, Sharon Woods, driven around Aston Oaks, even around our own subdivision, just to drive around, see who's doing what. One year, we were having a hard time finding a time to go driving around. And so I suggested, because it fit in our schedule and because the traffic wouldn't be all that great, why don't we go at noon? Why don't we just leave the house about noon and go see all the Christmas lights? Exactly. I was quickly informed that you can't go see Christmas lights in the middle of the day. That's, noon is not a good time to drive around and look at Christmas lights. Well, we're still in the Christmas season. This is the ninth day of Christmas. You know, there's 12 days of Christmas. And so the 12th day of Christmas is January 5th. And so January 6th starts a new liturgical season. January 6th is what we call Epiphany. And if you know the meaning of the word, sometimes epiphany, you think of a light bulb going off. It's a bright light moment. And that's what Epiphany is all about. In fact, the Sundays between this Sunday and the first Sunday of Lent, I like to think of them as the season of light. And I think it's developed over the history of the church, this tradition, to follow the birth of Christ, who is the light of the world. And during the darkest days of the year, because there can be dark days in January and February, we celebrate this idea of light, this season of light. I have a theory that Jesus was born in this season, the season of darkness in the world where the winter solstice, that is the shortest day of the year, but the longest night of the year, the longest darkness. I think it's right around there that God would just send the light of the world into our darkness. Actually, that's how the December 25th was chosen for the birth of Jesus. Nobody really knows for sure when he was born, what day. But the church took advantage of a kind of a secular holiday that celebrated the festival of light in the middle of the winter months and said, I think this would be a good idea. We think this would be a good idea to put the birth of Jesus right in the middle of this. And so that theory is just a theory, but it's the whole idea that God sends his light into the darkness of this world. And so back to our text from John chapter 1. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, all human beings. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, I am the light of the world. And so it wasn't just some theological deduction by the Apostle Paul or John or anybody. It was this whole idea that Jesus claimed that he was indeed the light of the world. So he brings light to our life. And the question is, well, what does that mean? It's one thing to symbolize it. It's one thing to enjoy it. It's one thing to celebrate it. It's one thing to proclaim it. But then what does it mean? What significance does the fact that Jesus is the light of the world? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? Well, a few things. First of all, if you think about light, when you have those light bulb moments, that usually is a symbol of clarity. Oh, yeah, now I get it. I see the light. I get it. And so light brings clarity. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. You see, we have this inbred, inborn tendency to want to avoid the light, at least morally, ethically. You know, sin is not just some bad choice here or a broken commandment there. Sin is a condition of our being from which our bad choices, our bad decisions come. And so we have a natural, carnal, maybe would be a good way to put it, tendency to want to avoid the spotlight of God's holiness because we don't want or we fear that the dirty spots of our life will show up. And so the life of Christ clarifies for us the distinction between good and bad, right and wrong. And in Jesus, we have a clear understanding of how we're to live, how we're to love, and how we're to be in relationship with God and with others. And so that truth or that light that Jesus sheds along our way defines what it means to walk in faith, to walk with God, to live aligned with God. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. No one who follows me stumbles around. I provide plenty of light to live in. And so this idea of what is right and what is wrong, if we want to be clear about that, if we want to know what the truth is, that's what light does. That's what Jesus does. He brings the light into our world, into our life, to clarify what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is holy, what is not holy, what is righteous, what is unrighteous. Second thing that light does is it generates hope. I don't know about you, but as a kid, I always wanted a light on somewhere in my bedroom, whether it was in the closet, or whether it was a nightlight plugged in somewhere, whether it was the hallway light and the door, you know, I could see light through my door. As a child, it wasn't so much I was desperately afraid of the dark, it's just that if I could see the light, that would give me some sense of comfort, some sense of hope. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 talks about the same thing. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, for unto us a child is born. Light generates a hope, hope for tomorrow, hope for something better on the horizon yet to come. We cannot escape our humanity. There's no stepping outside of who we are into some other realm and stay a person. We can't escape our being human. There's darkness all around us in our world. There's darkness all within us due to our sinfulness. The good news is that God is with us. And in spite of, or maybe in the face of, all of the world's darkness, all of our own personal darkness, God's light gives us hope. It's kind of like seeing Christmas lights at night. In the darkness, they're beautiful, they're inspiring. God's light shows up most brilliantly in our darkness. When the darkness of sin covers our souls, God's forgiveness shines. When the darkness of hate smothers relationships, God's love shines. When the darkness of evil and violence reign terror in our streets, God's goodness and his justice can shine. We need to know that we don't live in a nice world, that God is trying to make nicer. That's not his purpose. That's not his plan. Sometimes we think being nice is the ultimate goal of humanity. Well, I don't know. Look at the life of Christ. You know, there are times when we would say, that's not very nice. There are times he ran into the temple. There's a time and he saw what was happening there that wasn't good, and he kicked those people out. He turned over the tables of the money changers. He made a whip and drove them out. No one would call that nice. We don't live in a nice world that God is trying to make nicer. Jesus called the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, to task because they weren't teaching the right things. They were leading people astray spiritually. He called them liars. He called them children of the devil. He called them hypocrites. That's not very nice. That's not God's purpose, to make the world we live in nicer. Instead, God's purpose is to take what has been broken and just devastated because of sin and redeem it. Make it new again. Make it whole again. God's purpose is actually make it more like it was in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. That's where God's going. That's his purpose, is to restore and to redeem all of creation. That's the light that's at the end of the tunnel. That's the hope of the earth, is God's redemption in our world. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. He brings light to life. He brings clarity with the truth. He generates hope for tomorrow. And finally, if you think about it, light ends the darkness. If you think about it generating hope for tomorrow, it ends the darkness of today. If we were here at midnight and all the lights were off and all we had burning was one little candle, that would still draw our attention to the fact that there's hope. We can see. We have some encouragement because of one little light. All the darkness at midnight in this room could not put out a single light, even if it's just a little candle flame. But one little candle flame can dispense the darkness. That's what it means when it says, "And the darkness has not overcome it." Back to Genesis, very first chapter. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, we all know this phrase, God said, yeah, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and listen, he separated the light and the darkness. There's a difference between light and darkness. Light is totally opposite of darkness. And from the beginning of creation, God separated the two, proclaiming the goodness of light and leaving darkness to be defined by whatever doesn't have any light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The problem in the world is those without the light of Christ to live by, try to live by the darkness. They attempt to follow the latest lighting in this world, and they dismiss the eternal light that comes from the life of Christ. John 11, verses 9 and 10, those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. Jesus is the light. He brings clarity with the truth. He generates hope for tomorrow. He ends the darkness of today. And my prayer for all of us for this new year is that we will receive more of Christ's light in our life. More clarity, more hope, more diminishing of the darkness in our lives. That's my prayer for 2022. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Again, Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and that truth brings us light. It brings us hope. It brings us power to dispel darkness in our lives. And we've been invited through your word this morning to receive new light, to receive more light in our life. Help us not shy away from the light. Instead, help us to move more out of the shadows and into the light of Christ. We thank you that your purpose for us, for the whole world, is to transform us, to redeem us. And we pray that as the year goes on, we'll make a new and a fresh commitment to cooperate with your plan for our life. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.